You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Gareth Topham, Roy Delaghi and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Lingfield, accompanied by all-weather action at Chelmsford City in the afternoon, and more all-weather action in the evening as Wolverhampton play host to the action under the floodlights. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you all?
Very well, Mark. Very warm here in Leeds again.
Yes.
It's like the middle of spring, isn't it, here in Leeds?
It is. It's a mild old December, which usually means we get freezing January, doesn't it?
We've seen the return of the Wizard. He's looking very very tanned.
Yeah.
Good to see the old boy back.
Already talking about the Grand National, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. good stuff. We're going to look at the four races on Monday. We'll move on to that in a moment or two. But before we get to that, let's just have a quick look back at Saturday. The racing at Ascot, where Thistle Crack won the long wall hurdle in very impressive style, and on the back of that, he's market leader for the world hurdle, 5-2 at the top of the betting. Is he the real deal for you, Ollie? Will he be there and thereabouts in the world hurdle?
I must say, as podcast listeners will know, I had my doubts going into this race, Mark. We recorded a podcast last week previewing it, and I thought the two races he'd won at Wetherby and at Newbury had somewhat fallen into his lap, certainly at Newbury with Cole Hardin. The wrong favourite, Whisper, bombed out. And I thought he just picked up the pieces in a race that fell to pieces, but you couldn't say that about yesterday. Arguably, Saphir de Ruhr finished a disappointing fifth, but you couldn't have any qualms about the way Thistlecrack bolted in, let's be honest. He beat a very good yardstick in Rev de Civilla, who had won the previous three runnings. But he's 11 in a couple of weeks, of course, so he's getting a little bit long in the tooth. There was a 12-length gap back to Deputy Dan in third, of course, so he pulled miles clear Thistlecrack. Again, you could probably poke a few holes in the form. There's going to be a good number of Irish raiders for the world hurdle, but on what we've seen this year, there's no chance of them going chasing now. Colin Tizzard's put it down to a move of a new barn. He's certainly grown up this year, Thistlecrack, and of course with Cucard going in as second favourite for the King George, it's going to be a very exciting season for the Tizzard camp.
All right, so impressed with Thistlecrack then?
Yeah, very impressed. It's going to take a good one to beat, you'd have thought, in the world hurdle now.
Yeah, definitely the one to beat on what we've seen so far. Other stuff at Ascot, we had the Ladbrook as well, big hurdle to finish the card. Cracking finish as well, Stern Rubin and Jolly's cracked it, dead heating in the end. Ranetti in third and Sunplan back in fourth. It took a long time to come to the decision that it was a dead heat, and it was, well, there's nothing in it, it was cracking
finish. Well, given what went on last week and the revelations of the false, or the wrongly called judging decision, I think the judge was entitled to take his time, and probably for the connections, neither horse, the old cliche, deserved to get beaten. I think looking certainly at there was not a pixel between the two, the judge has probably come to the correct decision, and neither horse deserved to lose. So obviously there's a fair bit of prize money difference between winning and coming second and sharing it, but neither horse deserved to lose. Again, another podcast selection was Stern Rubin, who I thought had got up there. He was 16-1 anti-post when we put him up, Mark. 4 or 5 days ago, just got chinned, but another real good ride from Dickie Johnson, because it seemed as though he'd gone far too quick off in front, but arguably he didn't go quick enough because he's fought back. Stern Rubin, when Jolly's cracked it, has gone by him. Two progressive horses who are likely to go into graded company now.
Other horses to mention from Ascot as well, just want to mention Wakanda, purely because Sue Smith's 1,000th winner, so play to her.
And a nice pot to bring it up yesterday as well, and a bit of a renaissance for Danny Cook, who, of course, was in the doldrums with that drug ban, which he had to sit out. But he's worked a really good relationship with Sue Smith, and long may it continue.
Anything else done out to you on the Saturday?
Just a little bit of sad news today with the death of Alan Lee, the Times journalist, who a very, very good racing journalist. Met him on a number of occasions, thoroughly nice chap. And he's died at no sort of age whatsoever, and a very good journalist, but more so a really good person. So a bit of sad news this morning, and sure a lot of the racing industry pass on their condolences because, as I say, he was a great journalist, but even more so, he was a really good guy as well.
Yeah, rightly so. Sad news. Just a bit of other news as well before we move on to Monday's action. My Tent or Yours, he's obviously been out for a while now, and apparently we're going to have to wait till the new year to see him.
So. Yeah, and we could just see him in an all-weather bumper prior to going to the Champion Hurdle, that well-trodden trial mark. It looked pretty inevitable. He seems to be keep putting back a lot of his good horses, his comebacks, Nicky Henderson, and you wouldn't want to be bumping into Forheen on your first start back at Christmas, would you? So probably the right decision. Don't rush him back. Try and find an easy start for him in the preparation for the Champion Hurdle. But we do have a very short price favourite, and I think now for the William Hill Festival Christmas Hurdle, I think he's around about 2-5 now, Forheen, and rightly so.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of the William Hill Winter Festival as well, Ollie, might as well just get your quick thoughts on the King George. Obviously, we won't see Coney Gree running it anymore, but it's still a cracking renewal, isn't it, this time around?
I'm still a Q-card doubter, I have to say, Mark. He's been in the race three or four times now, and I just don't think he quite gets home. We've seen him win a Betfair Chase in the same emphatic manner, the same season in which he was beaten by Silvagnaco Conti. I'd love to be doubted wrong, because at the Cizars are a great family team. It's not one of the big trainers, wouldn't it? But I still think Silvagnaco Conti, who's won it the last 2 years, is a massive price. Is he around about 8-1?
7-1 now, yeah.
Yeah, so he's just been clipped in slightly with the absence of Conigree, but loves the track. I don't think he was that disappointing at Haydock last time. He was firmly put in his place by Q-Car, but we know what he's going to do. He's probably going to get his own way out in front now with the absence of Conigree.
Yep.
I think he takes the beating. I just think he outstayed Q-Car. In the last couple of seasons, it could well be the case again. Certainly at the prices, I think he's the value in the race.
So Silvagnaco Conti then, a bit of value. What do you make of Don Cossack and Vautour then at the top of the market?
Vautour, I think Willie Mullins downplayed the fact he jumped markedly left at Ascot, but I couldn't have him on my agenda at all. The way he jumped out to his left at Ascot, I think he must go left-handed. I think he'll be seen in a far better light at Cheltenham. Mm-hmm. And Don Cossack, highest rated chaser in training. Obviously, he's got a great chance, Mark, but he's yet to be proven at the track, and I think it's a specialist track, Kempton. So, yeah, I just think Silvagnaco Conti has just been a little bit overlooked in the betting.
All right, good stuff. Well, let's leave that there. Let's get stuck into Monday's action. Ollie's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we're starting the 140 at Lingfield Park. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. Over 2 miles, we've got a field of 9 here, Ollie. Who'd you like in that race?
It's a tricky race to get us underway on the podcast, Mark, the 140 at Lingfield. Good little handicap hurdle, this. Best part of $6,000 to the winner. Obviously, it's going to be very heavy indeed at Lingfield Park tomorrow. I think the probable favourite will be Template for the informed Harry Fry. Liam McKenna, who's good value for his 7 based with the Fry team, takes off 7. He sets a reasonable standard because he's won 2 of his last 3 starts. He beat Great Fighter at Huntingdon, beat him convincingly by a head last time. I think he was value for a little bit more. He was just stopping on the running, so idling in front. So he sets a decent standard in this 140 at Lingfield. But I thought the one at the top of the weights could put it to him at an each-way price in the form of Kiama Bay, formerly very smart horse on the flat. He was graded place last season, but more importantly, he's going to go on the ground. He's one of the few in the field guaranteed to go on the heavy going. Paul John takes off 7. He's top weight of 135 here. And I thought last time he was 16 lengths behind, got the knack. That was back in December at the start of the month. But even so, he was well beaten that day. I didn't think it was that bad a run. He was found out of his ground early, didn't settle that well. But I think a change of tactics could come about here. Jim Best has his team in better order now. I think they might just try and jump him out fairly handy. He's proven in graded company, and more importantly, he's proven on the ground. So Kiama Bay would be each way selection in the 140 at Lingfield, but you've got to respect the favourite's chance of Template, who looks to be an improving animal.
Kiama Bay each way then for Ollie in the 140. Moving on to the 240 at Lingfield next. This one is a Class 4 mares handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 3.5 furlongs. A field of 6 here, Ollie, and you could make a case for most of these, really.
You could. Very similar to our 140 at Lingfield. Very competitive, this. Shame only the 6 go, because it would have a good each way angle to it if we had the dead 8. Again, we have another pretty short price favourite, you'd have thought, in Nanda de Grise. Under the excellent Harry Cobden, who of course won the Greatwood Hurdle, based with Paul Nichols. Anthony Honeyball trains this one. He was 2nd of 8, 5 lengths behind Minella Celebration at Exeter over 2 mile 6 furlongs. That was back in November, again on heavy ground, so this mare shouldn't have any problems going on. She's generally consistent, Mark. She's been placed in 4 of her last 5 starts, third, third, first and second, but arguably the handicapper probably just does have this mare. Harry Cobden, as I say, takes off an excellent £7. I thought one at a bigger price would be 28 guns for the Scudamore team. Michael Scudamore horses are running a lot better now than they were earlier in the season. Tommy's brother takes the ride. It's got first time cheek pieces on. It did race extremely wide last time at Fontwell, searching for the better ground. Admittedly, it was 2nd of 8, beaten 20 lengths by Katie 2. But I think you can upgrade that run, given it's gone best part of 3 miles. It's gone so wide, looking for the better ground last time. The Scudamore horses were bang out of form then. He's had a couple of winners since. So 28 guns would be the each way selection in the 240 at Lingfield.
28 guns for Ollie in the 240. Then moving to Chelmsford City for their 320 next. This one is a class 4 handicap over a mile. Just a note as well, it is Chelmsford City that's the money back second meeting on Monday. So if you have a bet and your horse finishes second, you get that money back as a free bet up to £25 in all races at Chelmsford City with 5 or more runners. As far as the 320 is concerned, Ollie, let's start here with Superstar, who couldn't really arrive in better form.
Yeah, he's in outstanding form, this horse. Trained by Mick Appleby, has improved dramatically for the training, for the change in stable. If you're backing this horse, you have your heart in your mouth, Mark, because he always blows the start. It was a career best effort when he won that 10-runner handicap over C&D 14 days ago. £6 rise does make life tough, but he looks an ideal jockey booking for Jamie Spencer. This he will miss the break. If you back him at 2-3-1 favouritism, after about a furlong, you say he's a 10-1 shot because he completely fluffs the start. But he completed the hat trick over C&D last week, despite losing several lengths at the start. He's taken to defy that £6 penalty and continue his winning ways. He's just thoroughly progressive. And despite losing all this ground at the start, Mark, he's still winning comfortably. I think if the handicapper had his say, he'd be going up more than that £6 a fortnight ago. I think he was value for more than that. I'm surprised the handicapper has been as lenient as he has. So Superstar, I think he's a worthy favourite, but it's going to be heart in your mouth time when he jumps off, because he will no doubt miss the kick, but he's got that much ability. I still think he's pretty well handicapped even with that £6 rise. So Superstar will be the selection in the 320 at Chelmsford.
Superstar to get the four timer up then in the 320, and the final race we look at is the 440 at Wolverhampton. This one is a class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs, a field of 11 here. Sprint's not always the easiest puzzle to solve, and there's not really too much recent winning form in there also. Help us out in that.
There's race. Not. There's a number in here. Innocently obviously takes the eye for David O'Mara. 12 runs since his last win. That was back in 2014. But I thought he looked to be coming back to something like his best when he was respectable 5th of 10 in a handicap at the course 24 days ago. Never nearer. I thought he could get involved from a better draw here in stall 6. But another horse is dropping down the weights. Caught my eye, and that is the top weight here, Light from Mars. Former Spring Cup winner for Dandy Nichols 3 or 4 years ago. Obviously, he's nowhere near that class now, but he's with an excellent trainer in Ron Harris, who's in tremendous form. He's got the pace to cope with a drop back to 5 furlongs. Despite being drawn wide, he just might have a little bit too much class for these. He is a course winner. 21 runs since his last win in 2014, but he was only 4th of 10 to Lou Marin in a handicap at the course 30 days ago, but never nearer. He has got that stall in 11 to contend with, but off top weight here, he's been formally rated 100, Mark. He could just well have far too much class, and the handicapper has finally relented and given him this chance to race in this company. So the top weight for the informed Ron Harris and William Twiston Davies, Light from Mars, is the selection in the 440 at Wolverhampton.
Yeah, he has been rated 100 in the past, and he's one off marks in the 90s. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from. Right, Light from Mars then for Ollie in the 440. As usual, Ollie, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Monday one more time.
In the 140 at Lingfield, respect the chances of template, but I'm going to go with Kiama Bay each way for Jim Best and Paul John. In the 240 at Lingfield, I'm going with 28 guns for the Scudamore team. The 320 at Chelmsford City, the selection is Superstar for Mick Appleby and Jamie Spencer. And in the 440 at Wolverhampton, the selection is Light from Mars for the informed Ron Harris and William Twiston Davies.
Superb. Good work, Ollie. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Monday's racing. He'll be in the studio and he'll be joined by Gareth Topham and Rory Delaghi. It's all live from 12:30 PM on Racing Radio, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.